Almighty Yahweh, Heavenly Father, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace on this, your holy Sabbath day. As we come to give honor, glory, and praise to your name, Father, we ask that you would truly be a blessing to all those that have a petition before you this day. Father, be Yahweh Rapha, our healer, as you touch the bodies of those that need a touch from the Master's hand today, that you would heal them according to your will, that you would truly bless them this day. There are many, Father, names who are not on this prayer list who are still seeking a blessing from you. And we ask, Father, that you would do all these things in the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, whom you told us if we would ask anything in his name, that you would give it to us. So we ask, Father, that you would be a blessing to each and every one that has a petition before you this day. Comfort all those who have lost loved ones who are mourning at this time, Father, as only you can console them and bring them, Father, back to the bond of your security, the hollow of your hand, your safety. We know that it hurts to lose anyone, but we ask, Father, that you would give us the comfort we need and the restoration so that we can worship before you in spirit and in truth, rejoicing in your Son's name. Father, we thank you again for the love that you've manifested towards your people as Yahweh, Yireh, providing everything we have need of on a daily basis. Father, touch our hearts and our minds. Touch each one of us that we would think of you when we think of the blessings that you bestow upon each and every one of your servants. Help us to walk in your truth, Father, because we know your word is truth. And truth only comes through you, the one who has given us insight and opened our eyes to this truth and your word. We love you, and again, thank you for the great blessing of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, who gave his life that we might have an opportunity at life everlasting and be in your kingdom. So again, we thank you, Father, for the Sabbath day and for your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, giving us this opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. In Yahshua's holy name we pray. Hallelujah. You may all be seated. Is your knowledge expanding in the right direction? There is a lot of useless knowledge out in the world, especially on the internet. Do you check the veracity of the information you believe and the source of that information? The word of Yahweh is the truth, and any other knowledge that disputes it is a lie and of the evil one. Now, this message is entitled Kingdom Builders or Destroyers. It's important that we understand where our knowledge comes from, just like understanding where your food comes from. Turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, and we'll start in verse 8. If you see the oppression of the poor and the violence taken away of justice and righteousness in a province, marvel not at the matter. For one higher than the high regards. And there are higher than they. Moreover, the prophet of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. Now, we see this passage, and it kind of breaks things down to a common level. See, because it doesn't matter how mighty you are or what position you hold, whether you're the president of the United States or you're a prisoner in the lowest prison, you both have to eat. Right? We all have to eat. Verse 10, he that loves silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loves abundance with increase. There is also vanity. This also is vanity, because you can only eat so much. You understand? You can have an abundance, but you still can only eat so much. Verse 11, when goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what advantage is there to the owner of it, save the holding of them with his eyes? And this is where pride comes in, because we're talking something that is vain, vanity. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the fullness of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. Yet most people desire to be rich because they want abundance. Now, why is it that most people want to be rich when they can only eat a certain amount of food anyway? See, it's a lack of trust in Yahweh. When you have to live each day and receive your daily bread like the laborers over in Africa or some of the other parts of the world, who gets a day's wage, and they go out, buy what they need, and they eat that for that day. They have to depend on Yahweh for the next day. See, they don't have a lot of freezers like we have here in the United States, or refrigerators to put food in to store stuff for the long haul. And yet we end up throwing food out that went bad in the refrigerator because we had it there for so long. Now, what I want you to understand is that we're all on equal footing with Yahweh. We're all on equal footing with Yahweh. Verse 13, there's a grievous evil which I have seen under the sun, namely riches kept by the owner of it to his hurt. And those riches perish by evil adventure. And if he has begotten a son, there is nothing in his hand. As he came forth from his mother's womb, naked shall he go again as he came, and shall take nothing for his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a grievous evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. Naked came you into the world, naked you'll go out. You can't take anything with you. And what profit has he that labors for the wind? All his days also he eats in darkness, and he is severely vexed and his sickness, and has sickness and wrath. Behold, that which I have seen to be good and to be comely is for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good in all his labor, in which he labors under the sun. All the days of his life which Elohim has given him, for this is his portion. Every man also to whom Elohim has given riches and wealth and has given him power to eat of it and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of Elohim. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because Elohim answers him in the joy of his heart. So for those who are satisfied with what Yahweh has blessed them with, who have given them their daily bread, even a little extra, I want you to understand this scripture in verse 9. Moreover, the prophet of the earth is for all, is for everybody. The king himself is served by the field. Now, how do we receive our goods? By truck, train, from the train to the truck, from the truck to the grocery store. Some people have their own gardens and they, you know, provide some of their own needs by growing them. But most people depend on a grocery store here in the United States to eat. Everybody knows a trucker. Some love them and some hate them, but you wouldn't eat without them. Their job is to bring food to the market. People complain about driving on the road with the big rigs, but they don't complain when they go to the market and there's plenty of food. See, it's all based on our perspective, how we see things. And like I said, I have many relatives who are truckers, and they complain about the drivers that can't drive on the road, which we all do sometimes. But the key to what we need to understand is that in unity, we must work together to get to the kingdom of Yahweh. Because are we a kingdom builder or a kingdom destroyer? And we're going to look at several scriptures that will explain what I'm speaking of. First one, we want to go over to 2 Kings chapter 6. Verses 14 to 23. There's always going to be somebody that want what you have, and some of them are going to try to take it by force. 2 Kings chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 14. What was going on is the king of Syria was warring against Israel. And he would make plans to attack a certain place in Israel. Yet Elisha, the prophet, the man of Elohim, knew exactly what was being said in the king's bedchamber and in the king's war room. So every time they made a move against Israel, Israel knew about it because Elisha, who was told by Yahweh what was going on, had warned the king of Israel. So in verse 14, they were looking for the man of Elohim. So they were coming to capture him, the Syrians. They wanted this man of Elohim. And in verse 14, it says, therefore, he sent horses there and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of Elohim had risen early and gone forth, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that are with us are more than they that are with them. Do we trust Yahweh, brethren, and understand that he is greater than any other entity in the world? And if he's with us, who can be against us? Verse 17, and Elisha prayed and said, Yahweh, I pray you, open his eyes that he may see. And Yahweh opened the eyes of the young man, And he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed to Yahweh and said, strike this people, I pray you, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. So Yahweh listened to the words of the prophet, and he struck the enemy with blindness. And Elisha said to them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. And he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass in verse 20, when they had come to Samaria, that Elisha said, Yahweh, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And Yahweh opened their eyes and they saw. And behold, they were in the middle of Samaria, which is the capital of Israel. And the king of Israel said to Elisha, when he saw them, my father, shall I strike them? Shall I strike them? And he answered, you shall not strike them. Would you strike those whom you have taken captive with your sword and with your bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink, and go to their master. And he prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away. And they went to their master. And the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Now, this passage shows how Yahweh deals with enemies. Now, he can destroy them, or he can treat them with love. How do we treat our enemies? Proverbs chapter 25, verse 21-22. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will heap coals of fire upon his head, and Yahweh will reward you. Now, this passage is partially understood by most, but for the most part, most people don't understand it. They truly don't understand what it means. We're going to look at this a little more in depth today. As we think about builders of the kingdom of Yahweh and those who would destroy. Now, if your enemy's hungry, and this is what Elisha did, he took the enemies of Israel and he brought them and fed them. He brought them into captivity because they came there to capture him, the man of Elohim, because he was warning the king of Israel as to where they were going to be. How is it that if you had this ability, and you do, because Yahweh is your mighty one, and he is going to protect you from your enemies.
You've got mail.
We have to prepare ourselves for what Yahweh is doing in our lives. And remember, he's building the kingdom. We're supposed to be doing his will, building the kingdom of Yahweh. This particular passage, it's in Romans as well, and we're going to look at that and talk about that as well. But what does it mean to put coals of fire on the heads of your enemy? Most people and most translators have translated this as a very negative thing. But they don't understand the word. They don't understand the scriptures. See, because Yahweh is the mighty one of love. And with this saying, this is love in action. Now, by rightly understanding these metaphors from the Hebraic perspective, we gain more accurate view of the nature and the will of Yahweh for us. We will also gain a better understanding of how to fulfill the second greatest commandment, to love our neighbor, even our enemy, as ourselves. When we look at what it means to heap burning coals on our enemies, which is mentioned in the Tanakh, in the Old Testament, which we just read in Proverbs, and it's mentioned in the Brit Hadasha, which is the New Testament, not understanding it in the right Hebraic context could lead us away from the will of Yahweh. Now, heaping burning coals on our enemies. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. In doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head, and Yahweh will reward you. He's going to bless you. To the Western mindset, it would seem that by giving food and water to our enemies, we are heaping upon them the feelings of shame and remorse that will be painful to their souls, like the coals of fire burning through their skull. And that would be very painful. But that's not what it means. Thinking about that with a Western sense of justice, some might say, amen. Thank you, Father, for taking care of my enemy. But Yahweh's ways are not our ways, brethren. Although some enemies will be so convicted by our kindness that they change their ways, as Paul says in Romans 12, 14 to 21. We all know people who will not change their behavior no matter how kindly they are treated. Now, let's understand the context about heaping coals on our enemies' heads and the attendant results for us and for them. Heaping coals in context. In Jeremiah 36:22, you don't have to turn there. The king was sitting in the winter house in the ninth month with a fire burning in the brazier next to him. Now, in the context of the ancient Middle East, we know that coal was placed in a fire pan or a brazier, okay? In the Hebrew, ach, to keep the home warm and to cook simple foods. They use coal to, even in Kenya, that's how they cook their food. They bake their bread. Okay. So when the coal supply was depleted, the woman or man of the house might go ask a neighbor for a refill, you know, until they could go buy some or whatever. So a friendly neighbor would likely meet their need, but with an enemy. You understand? So they would take their, it's pronounced brazier or brazier, but what it is a fire pan. And they would take this fire pan, put on their heads. You know how women would carry, and I see this all the time in Africa, women carrying, I'm talking about a heavy weight on their head. And they walk around with this big thing on their head. It might be 3 feet tall. and wise. And they're carrying this thing on their head. So they're walking around with this fire pan, or what they would hold the coal in, on their head. It could be a basket, okay, to gather the coal, but they would burn this coal in their fire pan or brazier. B-R-A-Z-I-E-R. Now, this is what it's talking about, the coals of fire on their head. This was a good thing because if you lived in the northern part of Israel where it got cold, you could die if you had no heat. And if you ran out of coal, brazier. All right. But a brazier is, like I said, like a fire pan. And they would use that to bake their food on, because they would put a pan over top of it that would be heated. They would put the dough in it, and they make what they call chapati. I love chapati because they made it, and we ate it for breakfast. You could eat it any time during the day. They use it to eat their food with because they eat with their hands a lot, most of the Kenyans. But what you have to understand is this. A friendly neighbor might even offer freshly baked bread and some pomegranate juice or to a friend in need. But would an enemy do it? See? When you offer food, to feed an enemy and to give him drink was like heaping that empty brazier with live coals, which meant food, warmth, and almost like itself to the person or home needing it, and was the symbol of the finest generosity. See, so here in the West, we would look at that particular scripture and interpret it in a negative manner, but it's not. Yahweh is showing something great here. You understand? And just like Elisha took the enemy, the Syrian army, and put him in the middle of Israel and then told the king wanted to kill him. He said, Shall we strike him? He said, no. You got the enemy here. Feed them. They're your captives. And it took him great expense to feed this army, but he did it. And he fed his enemy. And this is what Yahweh is trying to show us, that if we do these things, we're serving him. This is through love, brethren. We see the Hebraic understanding in the 1903 Bible translation by Farrar Fenton, a man steeped in the knowledge of the ancient languages of the Middle East and literature. If your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him water to drink and a fire besides for his needs. And then Yahweh will bless you. See, so that coals of fire on the head is not a negative thing. This is a positive thing because you're meeting your enemy's needs. And very few people, especially when it comes to their enemy, are trying to meet their needs. Because, you know, you have people who are trying to kill you. But what did Elisha do? He captured them and then fed them, sent them home. When a woman in ancient Israel knocked on a neighbor's door with an empty fire pan, brazier, the owners of the home had a choice to make. Keep the coals for themselves and ensuring warmth, cook meals, and life for their own family, or generously share their coal supply and risk going cold and hungry themselves. So this took an act of kindness. See, if somebody knocked on your door and they had a need and you had the wherewithal to fulfill it, what does the scripture say? You don't send them away and say, tomorrow I'm going to help you out, you know, after I go to the bank. if you have the loaves of bread or if you have the need, what they need and you can afford to give it, you give it. You share it. You have to trust Yahweh that he's going to provide. And this is where the act of that poor widow who gave the two mites was greater than all the money that was put in by the rich men. Because she gave of her very living and they gave of their excess. They were still rich after they gave. She was very poor after she gave. But she trusted Yahweh to provide for her the next day. You understand? When people betray or insult us, we have a choice to make. Bless their lives through the acts of love or curse them through the acts of revenge. And remember, the scripture says, revenge is mine, saith Yahweh. I will repay. It's not for us to repay our enemies that have done something negative to us. We're supposed to pray for them and bless them. Blessing the lives of our enemies is not just a proverbial suggestion. It is a divine instruction of Yahweh's written Torah. See, this message is about building the kingdom of Yahweh or tearing it down, destroying it. If we go after revenge, we're going to destroy it. Now, this is one of the things I want to talk to the children about. Because even a child is known by his doings. When you go to school or when you are out and people see you playing, do they recognize one of the children of Yahweh? See, because if someone did something negative to you, are you the first to go after them? Or are you willing to forgive them? Now, I know children will chew you up, you know, if you let them. But you can win them over with love. You can. You don't have to fight everybody. Now, let's go over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I want you to see building the kingdom of Yahweh, you can do it in five different ways. You can build the kingdom of Yahweh at home, in your personal life, at work, in your community, and in worship. Here in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahweh, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to Yahweh, which is your spiritual service. Now, how do you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy to Yahweh? Holy means Kodesh, set apart for a holy purpose. Verse 2, and be not fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of Yahweh. Now, understanding that scripture about feeding your enemy and this heaping of coals of fire on the head in a positive manner, understanding that Yahweh is willing to bless you because you're willing to bless someone else. You're willing to help someone else make it through the winter or make it through a difficult time in their life. Verse 3, for I say, through the grace that was given me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but so to think as to think soberly, according as Yahweh has dealt to each man a measure of faith. How much faith do you have? See, some people have faith enough to move mountains. And what does it say? If you have faith as small as a grain of mustard seed, which is the smallest seed, you can move mountains. So, do we have faith enough to build the kingdom of Yahweh? Verse 4, for even as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office. So we who are many are one body in the Messiah, and severally members one of another, and having different gifts according to the grace given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy. According to the proportion of our faith. So you're going to prophesy according to the proportion of your faith. Whatever it is that Yahweh gives you to do. Or ministry, let us give ourselves to our ministry. Or he that teaches to his teaching. Or he that exhorts to his exhorting. He that gives, let him do so liberally. With liberality. He that rules with diligence. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy, brethren. Hate that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. In the love of the brethren, be tenderly affectionate one to another. In honor, preferring one another. In diligence, not slothful, fervent in spirit, serving Yahweh. And this is what we want to do. We want to serve Yahweh. How do we serve Yahweh? Remember, you do it at home in your personal life. You do it at work. People who know you at work, do they look at you and say, man, what a sinner he is? You understand? Sinners of reproach to every people, every nation. But righteousness is something different. People love righteousness, even if they see it in someone else. You know, sometimes they hate you for your righteousness, but guess what? Yahweh is the one that brings them around. You have to be an example so that they would give praise to Yahweh because of you. It says, in love of the brethren, be tenderly affectionate one to another, in honor preferring one another, in diligence, not slothful, fervent in spirit, serving Yahweh, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Are you patient through your trials, brethren, in your life? Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Communicating the necessities of the saints, given the hospitality. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Set not your mind on high things, but condescend to things that are lowly. Be not wise in your own conceits. Render to no man evil for evil. That's not a blessing. That's a curse. Take thought for things honorable in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as in you lies, be at peace with all men. Avenge not yourselves, beloved, but give place to the wrath of Elohim. For it is written, vengeance belongs to me, I will repay, says Yahweh. But if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink, for in so doing you shall heap coals of fire upon his head. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Are we building the kingdom of Yahweh by the way we live our lives, by the way we show our neighbors who we are, by how we act? Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll look at verse 11 down to the end of the chapter. It says, therefore, remember that once you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, the Jews, made by hands, that you were at that time separate from the Messiah, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without Yahweh in the world. Before you came into the knowledge of Yahweh, you had no hope. Verse 13, but now in the Messiah Yahshua, you that were once far off are made near in the blood of the Messiah. For he is our peace, who made both one and broke down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that he might create in himself of the two one new man, making peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to Yahweh through the torture stake, having slain the enmity by it. And this is what Yahshua did in dying for our sins. And he came and preached peace to you that were far off and peace to them that were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no more strangers and sojourners, but are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of Yahweh, being built upon the foundation. See, we're building the kingdom of Yahweh on the foundation of Yahshua the Messiah, brother. The love that Yahshua showed each and every one of us. The Messiah Yahshua himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom each building fitly framed together grows into a holy temple in the Master. Each one of us has to be a holy building block of that temple. Verse 22, in whom you are also built together for a habitation of Yahweh in the Spirit. Almighty Yahweh has shown us how we can build this temple in the last days. We build this temple through love, through treating our enemies with love, by feeding them and giving them drink. In the second great commandment, we see that we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but to love your neighbor as yourself. I am Yahweh, Leviticus 19:18. And that includes your enemy. In other words, what you hate for yourself, do not do to your enemy, which is the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Heaping coals for heavenly rewards. We could answer, because Yahweh says so, that would be enough. Why does Yahweh want us to give life to our enemies? What's in it for us? And again, we can say, just like the parent says to the child, because I say so. Or we can say, because Yahweh says so. But he tells us, Yahweh knows that we need incentives to follow him. So we find in the wisdom of Proverbs that by heaping coals or giving life to our enemies, we are to reap a reward from Yahweh himself. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head, and Yahweh will reward you. Yahweh rewards those who follow his commandments. 14 verses overflowing with blessings are promised in Deuteronomy 28. But before we go over to Deuteronomy 28, I want you to go back over to 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7. In 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 1, and Elisha said, "Hear the word of Yahweh." And I'm telling you today, brethren, you need to hear the word of Yahweh, which means put it into practice in your life. Put it into practice in your life. Thus says Yahweh, tomorrow about this time, a measure of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, 2 measures of barley for a shekel, in the gate of Samaria. Then the captain of whose hand the king leaned answered the man of Elohim and said, "Behold, if Yahweh should make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" And he said, "Behold, you shall see it with your eyes, but shall not eat of it." Now, what had happened prior to that is that Syria had come against Israel, and there was a famine in Israel. There was a famine because of the Syrians. In verse 3, it says, "Now there were 4 leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to each other, 'Why do we sit here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we will die there. And if we sit here, we will die also. Now come, therefore, and let us fall to the hosts of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall die.' And they rose up in the twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outermost part of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was no man there. There wasn't a sentry. There was no one protecting the camp. For Yahweh had made the host of the Syrians to hear the noise of the chariots and noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said to each other, 'Lo, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians and come upon us.' Therefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. Now, Yahweh did this. He had the Syrians fooled because they believed they were about to be destroyed. And they ran away and fled for their lives. In verse 8, "And when these lepers came to the outermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and ate and drank and carried from there silver and gold, raiment, and went and hid it. And they came back and entered into another tent and carried there also away and went and hid it." Then in verse 9, they said to each other, "We're not doing well. This day is the day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we wait till the morning light, punishment will overtake us. Now therefore come, let us go and tell the king's household." So they came and called to the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, "We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but the horses tied and the asses tied, and the tents as they were." And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's household inside. And the king arose in the night and said to his servants, "I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we are hungry. Therefore they have gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, 'When they come out of the city, we shall take them alive and get into the city.' And one of his servants answered and said, 'Let some take, I pray you, 5 of the horses that remain that are left in the city. Behold, they are as the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, they are as all the multitude of Israel that are consumed, and let us send and see. Therefore they took two chariots with them, with horses. And the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, go and see. And they went after them to the Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels, which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. And the people went out and plundered the camp of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of Yahweh. And the king appointed the captain on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate, and the people trampled upon him in the gate, and he died, as the man of Elohim had said, who spoke when the king came down to him. And it came to pass, as the man of Elohim had spoken to the king, saying, two measures of barley for a shekel, and a measure of fine flour for a shekel, shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. And the captain answered the man of Elohim and said, now behold, if Yahweh should make windows in heaven, might such a thing be? And he said, behold, you shall see it with your eyes, but shall not eat of it. It came to pass even so to him, for the people trampled upon him in the gate, and he died. But the word of Yahweh came to pass as Elisha said. That next day, the very next day, you know, they had a famine where they were starving. And the man of Elohim gave them a prophecy that the next day that the wheat would be sold for a shekel, which is a small amount. And it came to pass. See, Yahweh answers the prayers of his people, brethren. Are we building the kingdom of Yahweh through love, or are we a destroyer of the kingdom? If we're not walking in truth, if we're not keeping the covenant as Almighty Yahweh has commanded us to do, then we're going to be destroying the kingdom. But we want to be builders of the kingdom. And to do that, we have to walk in truth and keep the commandments. We have to feed our enemies if they're hungry, so that we can receive the blessing from Almighty Yahweh. And this is what Elisha had did. He took the enemies of Israel, the Syrians, brought them into Samaria, fed them, and sent them home. And what happened? Yahweh blessed them with much food themselves. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 8. We close the Sabbath with this passage. Finally, be you all like-minded, compassionate. That means loving. Loving as brethren. Tender-hearted, humble-minded, not rendering evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but contrariwise, blessing. For to this were you called, that you should inherit a blessing. Yahweh wants us to inherit blessings, brethren. Verse 10, for he that would love life and see many days, good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Are we practicing good in our lives, brethren? Let him seek peace and pursue it, for the eyes of Yahweh are upon the righteous, and his ears to their supplication. But the face of Yahweh is upon them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be zealous of that which is good? But even but even Let him seek peace and pursue it, for the eyes of Yahweh upon the righteous, and his ears to their supplication. But the face of Yahweh is upon them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be zealous of that which is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And fear not their fear, neither be troubled. We don't have to worry about the things the people of the world are worried about, brethren. We don't have to worry about where our next meal is coming from. We truly don't. It says, fear not their fear, neither be troubled, but sanctify your hearts, in your hearts the Messiah as sovereign, ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason concerning the hope that is in you, yet with meekness and fear, having a good conscience that in what you are spoken against, they may be put to shame that revile your good manner of life in the Messiah. For it is better if the will of Yahweh should so will that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing, because the Messiah also suffered for sins once, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to Yahweh, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he also went and preached to the spirits in prison, that before that time were disobedient, when the long suffering of Yahweh waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which few, that is eight souls, were saved through water, which also after a true likeness does now save you, even baptism. Yes, there's a requirement, baptism. It's an outward sign of an inward cleansing. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the interrogation of a good conscience toward Yahweh through the resurrection of Yahshua the Messiah, who is on the right hand of Yahweh, having gone into heaven, angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him. Everyone should be in subject to Yahweh. Remember, Yahshua, our example, and what he did in giving his life. Now turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Those are the 14 verses that we were speaking about. The overflowing with blessings are promised in Deuteronomy 28 to those who obey Yahweh's laws. Those include loving our neighbor. And it shall come to pass in verse 1, if you shall listen diligently to the voice of Yahweh your Elohim, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that Yahweh your Elohim will set you on high above all the nations of the earth, and all the blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, if you shall listen to the voice of Yahweh your Elohim. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, your children, the fruit of your ground, your increase, the fruit of your beasts, the increase of your cattle, the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading trough. Blessed shall be you when you come in, and blessed shall be you when you go out. Yahweh will cause your enemies that rise up against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and shall flee before you seven ways. Yahweh will command the blessing upon you in your barns, your bank account, and in all that you put your hand to. He will bless you in the land which Yahweh your Elohim is giving you. Yahweh will establish you for a holy people to himself, as he has sworn to you, if you shall keep the commandment of Yahweh your Elohim and walk in his ways. So what is he asking you to do? He's asking you to feed your enemy. Give him drink. and it will heap coals of fire upon their heads. You're going to provide them with the things they need, and Yahweh is going to bless you. And all the people in verse 10 of the earth shall see that you're called by the name of Yahweh, and they shall be afraid of you. And Yahweh will make you plenteous for good, and the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your cattle, and the fruit of your ground, and the land which Yahweh swore to your fathers to give you. Yahweh will open to you his good treasures, the heavens, to give the rain of your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, and you shall not borrow. And Yahweh will make you the head and not the tail. And you shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath. If you shall listen to the commandments of Yahweh, your Elohim, which I command you this day, to observe to do them, and it shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other Elohim to serve them. Now, Almighty Yahweh is looking for a people to build the kingdom of Yahweh. How are you going to fulfill this? He told us in Deuteronomy 28 what we needed to do. Turn over to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36, and we'll start in verse 8. Now, we have to have a change of heart, brethren. This is what we need to do. We have to have a heart transplant to go from those who are not keeping the covenant to those who are keeping it. He says in Ezekiel 36:8, "But you, O mountains of Israel, you shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people Israel, for they are at hand to come. For behold, I am for you. And if Yahweh is for you, who can be against you? And I will turn to you, and you shall be tilled and sown. And I will multiply men upon you, and all the house of Israel, even all of it, and the cities shall be inhabited, and the waste places shall be built." We're building the kingdom of Yahweh in these last days, brethren, through love, one for another. Verse 11, "And I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and be fruitful, and I will cause you to be inhabited after your former estate, and will do better to you than at your beginning, and you shall know that I am Yahweh. Yes, I will cause men to walk upon you, even my people Israel." Now, he's talking about the land of Israel. When people talk about Israel, they talk about Israel in three different ways. They talk about the land of Israel. They call Israel the people of Israel. But see, we have to be known spiritually as Israel, those who are keeping the covenant. See, the ones that are in the land may be called Israel, but are they keeping the covenant of Almighty Yahweh? Yahweh's giving this prophetic message here about Israel. Okay? He says, "And they shall possess you, and you shall be their inheritance." Yahweh is our inheritance. We, as priests and kings, who are going to be priests and kings in the thousand-year millennium, Yahweh is our portion. Remember, Levi didn't receive an inheritance in the land. All the other tribes, but Levi did not receive an inheritance. Yahweh was their inheritance. And Yahweh has to be our inheritance. Those who are building the kingdom of Yahweh. Verse 13. "In this manner says the sovereign Yahweh, because they say to you, You land are a devourer of men and have been a robber of your nation. Therefore, you shall devour men no more. You shall devour men no more. Neither rob your nation anymore, says the sovereign Yahweh. Neither will I let you hear any more the shame of the nations. Neither shall you bear the reproach of the peoples any more. Neither shall you cause your nation to stumble any more, says the sovereign Yahweh. This message is to Israel, those who have spiritually become Israel. You can be physical Israel and not receive this blessing. Verse 16, moreover, the word of Yahweh came to me saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it in their way and by their doings in their sin. Their way was before me was as the uncleanness of women, of a woman and her impurity. Therefore I poured out my wrath upon them for the blood which they had poured out upon the land, and because they had defiled it with their idols. And I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed through the countries according to their way, and according to their doings I judged them. He scattered Israel all over the world. And when they came to the nations where they went, they profaned my holy name, and that men said of them, these are the people of Yahweh. And they have gone forth out of his land. But I had regard for my holy name, which he truly does, especially in these last days, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations where they went. Therefore, say to the house of Israel in this manner, says the sovereign Yahweh, I do not for this for your sake, the house of Israel, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in the middle of them. And the nations shall know that I am Yahweh. How are they going to know that he is Yahweh? They're going to know he's Yahweh because of his people, because of the heart transplant that his people go through, which you have profaned in the middle of them, and the nations shall know that I am Yahweh, says the sovereign Yahweh, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of all the countries and will bring you into your own land. And I will sprinkle clean water on you. He's going to baptize them with clean water, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. They're going to receive the Holy Spirit. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my ordinances and do them, and you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your Elohim. And I will save you from all your uncleanness, all your uncleannesses, and I will call for the grain, and I will multiply it and lay no famine upon you, and I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that you may receive no more the reproach of famine among the nations. He's going to make sure that you receive everything you need. No more famine of hearing the word. No more famine of needing food. He's going to make sure that his people are no longer hungry. Verse 31. Then shall you remember your evil ways and your doings that were not good, and you shall loathe yourself in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. We're going to close over in Amos chapter 9. Turn over to Amos chapter 9, and we'll start in verse 5. Amos chapter 9, verse 5. For the sovereign, Yahweh of hosts, is he that touches the land and it melts, and all that dwell in it shall mourn, and it shall rise up wholly like the river, and shall sink again like the river of Egypt. It is he that builds his chamber in the heavens and has founded his vault upon the earth. He that calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out upon the face of the earth. Yahweh is his name. Are you not as the children of Ethiopians? To me, O children of Israel, says Yahweh, have not I brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt, and the Philistines from Kaphtor, and the Syrians from Kir? Behold, the eyes of the sovereign Yahweh are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, save that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, says Yahweh. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all the nations like a grain is sifted in a sieve. Yet shall not the least kernel fall upon the earth, and all the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, who say the evil shall not overtake nor meet us. Almighty Yahweh has called the people in these last days to build the kingdom of Yahweh. And how are we to build this kingdom? In verse 11, in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches of it, and I will raise up its ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations that are called by my name, says Yahweh that does this. Behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that sows seed, and the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt, and I will bring back the captivity of my people Israel. And they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine of it. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land. And they shall no more be plucked up out of their land, which I have given them, says Yahweh, your Elohim. Is your knowledge expanding in the right direction, brethren? Are you gaining the knowledge you need to build the kingdom of Yahweh? We know that we're in the last days, and Almighty Yahweh has called the people for his own possession, a people who are willing to build the kingdom of Yahweh through keeping the covenant and receiving the Holy Spirit. What type of example are you to those that you come in contact with? Are you building the kingdom of Yahweh at home? Are you building the kingdom of Yahweh in your personal life? Are you building the kingdom of Yahweh at work, in your community? Are you building the kingdom of Yahweh in your worship? I hope each and every one of you has dedicated your life to Almighty Yahweh and are looking forward to Yahshua returning, setting up the kingdom of Yahweh on this earth. May Almighty Yahweh bless each one of you as you seek to build the kingdom of Yahweh and not destroy it. Would you all please rise at this time for closing prayer? Almighty Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, we again humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace. We thank and praise your name, Father, for the love that you've manifested toward us and given us your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, who truly gave us an example of love, and not only feeding all of those, even those who considered themselves his enemies, but those who were seeking to destroy him. He fed them with your word, Father. We ask that we might be able to provide for those in these last days the word of Yahweh with power and authority so that many will turn and repent, come to you, Father, that they would worship you in spirit and in truth. We love you and thank you for every blessing. Help each one of us uphold the kingdom and build the kingdom of Yahweh in these last days through the love that you've shown each one of us, feeding our enemies, giving them what they need to drink, and heaping coals of fire upon their heads as a blessing, Father, so that they can see the love that you have for them and repent and turn to you and build the kingdom of Yahweh in these last days. In Yahshua's holy name, we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah.